So here we are. The FDA, I suspect, will approve pembrolizumab in 1% or higher. And what are we going to do? If a patient walked in today with squamous or non-squamous lung cancer, for me, and they had less than 50% expression of PD-L1, for me, it's chemotherapy and pembrolizumab. If a patient has 50% or higher, I think that's a conversation of pembrolizumab or chemo plus pembrolizumab. And I have to tell you, Neil, I've done a 180 here where I was a firm believer. Actually, Heather Wakely and I had a little bit of a debate about this where she argued for combination therapy and I was arguing for monotherapy. But I've changed course and I think Heather's correct. I think the data look compelling for those high expressors for the combination. So it looks good for mono, but I think if you have high expression, you may even do better if you get chemo plus pembro. And I think that's the way to go. You mentioned, well, maybe your PS2 or your elderly patient should just get mono. I guess people will think that way, but you know, we already have studies, multiple studies that have shown us that patients with poor performance status, patients who are elderly deserve access to platinum-based doublet therapy. Although just this past week, we saw some updated data from the MILES studies, which suggests maybe single agent chemotherapy is sufficient. I think for every patient, it's kind of a case by case decision, but I tend to lean towards 189 and 407 for all my patients at the moment, regardless of PD-L1 expression. And one can make a good argument, why do PD-L1 expression testing anymore if you're not going to use it to make a decision what you give?
Let me challenge you a little bit and say you have somebody who has a PD-1 level of 90% and they don't have any life-threatening, you know, disease at that point. Why not just start the pembro alone? Maybe if they don't do well, add in chemo.
So I think doctors tend to practice based on their experience, and that's maybe good and not so good sometimes. But I've had those cases, Neil. I've had those cases when we were all at ESMO and we got the O24 data and I raced home and I started giving mono pembro. In fact, we weren't even using pembro at Sarah Cannon initially because we were doing a lot of other studies, but started using a lot of mono pembro. I had those patients with 100% expression who fell off a cliff, and I rescued some of them with platinum doublet chemotherapy. It's anecdotal, but you know, when you start to see some of these other data sets and you start thinking about, boy, two cycles of pemetrexed and carboplatin just are not that bad. Even if you made it paclitaxel and nab-paclitaxel, things we were doing for years is really not that difficult. And if I can avoid dropping off a cliff with a patient, maybe that's the way to go. I actually would love to see a study of just that, where you get the three drugs for just two cycles and then bail on the chemotherapy, no maintenance chemo, and then just give your checkpoint inhibitor. And then I'd like to see less checkpoint inhibitor. Maybe you give it every 6 weeks or every 12 weeks. Do you really need it that often, every 3 weeks or every 4 weeks? So I think we're moving in that direction. I know ECOG, or I know the Alliance, is poised to do some of these kind of studies to look at sequencing. But you know, for now, I think there's a role for monotherapy. And if a patient walked in and said, Dr. Spiegel, I just don't want chemo. I just don't want to get it. I just had a patient last week tell me this. He's on a study with actually Nevo Ipi. And he said, David, it's been 2 years. I'm coming off this because of the study. And if I recur, do you have to put me on chemo? I'd like to go back on immunotherapy. I think there's just this innate fear or concern about having to go on chemo, and I get that, you know. And so I'm not saying chemo's for everybody, but chemo often isn't that bad for a lot of people and can be helpful and keep them from kind of falling off a cliff.